That we're going to focus on this evening is Romans 5, 12 to 19. Specifically, the verses that we'll dig into are the first one, verse 12, and then we'll be looking at 18 and 19. But I'll read the whole passage so you can see it in context. The way it goes through, there's a couple little tangents that are taken throughout. So if it can be mildly confusing to follow. It's one of those verses that when you study through it yourself, you kind of sit there and you have to dissect it as you work through the word. So we'll read through it, but don't get too distracted if you get lost within the middle section, because we'll focus mainly on the start and on the end of this passage. But let's read it together. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So as I said before, this is the last week that we're going to go through this current series in Romans that we've been doing for the last couple of months. And even though we spent quite a bit of time in this early portion of the book, we've really still just scraped the surface of what there is to learn from it. It is an incredible book full of amazing wisdom. Some of the things we've learned about Paul, and he's the man who wrote the book. He has a very clear and strongly stated desire to share the gospel of God, to share the good news, and he really wants to show people how they might become right with God, and he's doing that in this book. And it's that same desire that we have taken from Scripture in inspiring us to come and share with this series with people here. And that's what we've been trying to do over the last couple of months, is to share that. So we've learned that this gospel, that's the good news and the hope that Paul was trying to share, it's not just for the Jewish people, and it wasn't just for religious people in his day. We learned that it's for non-religious people. It was for everybody, and it is also applicable to us here today. One thing that we definitely have learned through this is that no matter who you are, you have a distinct need for the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, this was reinforced when we got to chapter 3, and you know, we see in verse 23, it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's such a clear statement that we saw that explains our place before God, all of us. You know, the people in this room that you would think were the most righteous have fallen short of the glory of God. It isn't one person or some people, it is all people. So we all are in this state before God, and that really reinforces what we were learning about our need for a Savior, our need for an answer for our state of sin. Last week, Tim talked to us about some of the amazing blessings of God, and it was so clear when we were looking at those blessings that it was also put really clearly in this context that these are so incredible because we really don't deserve them. You know, we are not deserving in and of ourselves the blessings that are available to us through God. And it was almost counterintuitive to see this description of us as our state before the Lord and then the blessings that would be extended to us through Christ, because we are so not deserving as a rebellious people before him. And tonight, what we're really going to look at is something which really just gets to the root of the problem, the things that we've been looking at, the things that we've been exploring, and we're going to look at where it really began, where this problem began, and we're going to understand even more why, as people who are sinners, we can have a hope in the gospel of God. There is hope for us, and we're going to see it by looking at two men. So the two men are two men that have some really incredible things in common. The first thing that these two men have in common is that they were both, you know, they both came into this world perfect. The only two men ever who came into this world perfect. That's the two men that we're going to be looking at this evening. The other thing that's incredibly significant about these two men is what their actions were, the consequences of what they did while they were here. And the thing about the two men is that the things that they did lead to the two most significant turning points in all of human history, two most significant moments that we will see, and we'll be looking at those this evening, these two most significant moments, and what that means to us, and what that means to us in our state before God. So these two men are so significant that all people, every single one of us, including you and me, will end up aligned to one of these men or another. You know, and that alignment, as we're going to learn as we work through it, has an eternal significance as to who you are aligned with out of these two men. And whether we like it or not, we are all definitely aligned to at least to one of these men, and you cannot be aligned to both. So let's start, and we'll look into the passage that the start of the passage we were looking at, which is verse 12, and this is where we're going to see this first man talked about. And then we're going to explore a bit about this man and understand the context through of what is being explained here in Romans. So the scripture says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." So what we see here is through one man. So that's that one man that we're going to talk about first. Sin entered the world. That is that first really significant pivotal change within history. His creation was created without sin, and through this one man, sin entered the world. So Paul doesn't mention explicitly here who this man is, but because of what he says happens, you know, because of this man's actions, it's very clear to us who this man is when we look into the book of Genesis. So his description of that consequence of sin coming into the world, and because of sin coming into the world, death coming into the world, we know that he's talking about the first man that God created, and the man Adam. So Adam was the first man created by God. When he was created and in a world that had no sin. And that's something that's actually really hard for us to think about. And like, sin pervades our world and our way of thinking and so much of what is around us these days that it's really hard to grasp your head around this world without sin. And he was in a world where sin just simply did not exist. He was created perfect. And before him, because there was no sin, he was able to be perfect. So he walked with God in the Garden of Eden, and he lived in incredible abundance. There was an abundance of food among the trees in the garden that he could feed from. He could have whatever he wanted, and there was what was there. And there was really only one exception that was put in front of Adam, one thing that he didn't have extended to him as free access. There was a tree. One tree in the middle of the garden, which he was specifically forbidden to eat from. This tree was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God warned Adam that if he ate from that tree, that on that day he would surely die. So God's reason for warning him against the tree was pretty solid, if you ask me. So Adam was kept pretty busy in the garden. He was tending to the trees. He was naming animals. He was looking after them. And God created a helper for him, which is Eve, who I'm sure most of us would have heard of, with Adam and Eve together. So things were going pretty well in the garden until one day when they had a visit from a serpent. And that serpent, we know, was Satan. Satan deceived Eve, and in turn deceived Adam, and convinced them to eat from the only tree in the garden that was forbidden to them. So the one thing that God said, you cannot partake of this tree, that's what they were convinced to do. In the way that you and I attempted to sin against God, so was Adam and Eve. And in the way that you and I will sometimes, and often more than we'd like to, give in to that temptation of sin, so did Adam and Eve. And they ate from that tree. That was the first ever sin. Before that, it did not exist in the world and in God's creation, and it was brought into that creation through the deception of the serpent and the act of Adam. The reason it was sin was because God had explicitly told them not to do it, and they were in direct disobedience of God. And that's the reason that that act was sin. And that first sin changed everything. So I want us to read on in the book of Genesis. Just after that had happened, they've eaten of it, they've realized what they've done, and then they hear God walking through through the garden. And we'll see some of these initial consequences of sin. Straight away, you see the impact of it. And let's explore this a little bit together. So we'll read this passage from Genesis 3, 8 to 11. It says, "They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?'" So Adam and Eve have always been in the garden. They've always been there with God. And importantly to this, they've always been naked. It's another thing that we need to remember. So everything was supplied for them. There was nothing there that threatened them. They walked alongside God. And when you walk alongside God, there is nothing that could threaten you. He created everything. So there was nothing there that they should fear. So we see here two immediate impacts of sin. And sin entering the world, and these impacts, we need to remember that they will become a legacy of Adam throughout all of history. They will become a legacy for all people who come after Adam, which is every single one of us. It's a legacy that we are all born into, whether we like it or not. So the first thing that we see come in was that they were afraid. Adam says directly as much to God. He's there hiding behind a tree. And he says that he heard him in the garden and he was afraid, so he hid himself. Fear makes us do some really irrational things at times. And I see this and think that's the first example of a really irrational thing that fear convinced somebody to do. Because if you're trying to hide from God, hiding behind a tree is not really going to help. And they knew God. They knew that that would be the case. But what it shows you is that this fear overcame them, this fear that they'd never experienced before. They'd never had reason to experience it before. This is the first time in God's creation that anything had reason to fear, and they feared God because they had sinned against him. It was the sin that caused them to fear. God was pretty clear on the consequences of sinning against him. This one thing that they were to not do, and he told them that it was death. They had reason to fear God. The next thing that we see come into the world for the first time is guilt and shame. Guilt is, they're slightly different concepts. Guilt is that feeling that you have when you know you've done something wrong. It's kind of an inside feeling. Guilt would have caused Adam to hide from God when he heard that he was coming, because he knew that he'd done something wrong. He knew he had to hide to be away from God. And shame is more about what other people will think of us. We're ashamed for what other people will think. This is really made clear by Adam suddenly realizing that he was naked. And it probably seems strange to us. It's not one of those things that's hard to wrap your head around, like a world without sin and a world without clothes. But it was just not a thing back then. I would never go out in public naked, but being naked is just how things were at the start of creation. There was no shame in being naked because there was no need to cover yourself. There was nothing to cover yourself because of. And so nakedness simply wasn't a concept prior to this point that Adam would be at all familiar with. When you think about it, Adam, he was created naked. He walked around the garden naked. He was naked when he was naming the animals. He was naked when he met Eve, who was also naked. And it's just like the idea of being naked just was not a thing because there was no alternative to being naked. But suddenly Adam knew that he was naked and he needed to cover himself. And this is an example, like this is an outworking of that shame that he had and that shame that came with sin that made him feel the need to cover himself. And you know, these things are bad things, and they have plagued humanity throughout all of human history from Adam forward, and they are a consequence of sin and a consequence of that inheritance of Adam to this day. And as debilitating as these things can be, they are not even remotely the worst thing that came as a consequence of sin entering the world. You know, remember what God warned them about disobeying. He said that to sin against him would lead to death. In our Romans passage, we read that through one man, sin entered the world, and with sin came death, which then spread to all men, because all sin. The way God put it to Adam is, you know, he said, you know, straight after this, in his judgment of Adam, he says, you know, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Adam would have lived forever in the garden because there was not sin and there was not death. You know, because of sin, that meant that Adam and all of us would face death. So he brought death into the world as he brought sin into the world. That is the legacy that we are all born into. You know, we don't choose the legacy of Adam when we're born. You don't get a tick box that you decide what legacy you're going to sign up for at birth. We are all born into that. No matter who your parents are, no matter what country you're from, no matter what religious heritage you have been born into, or country you've been born into, or culture, you are a child of the first man, Adam, as we all are a child of the first man, and we inherit that cursed identity before God as a child of Adam. So that was the first man. But as I said, there are two men that we're going to be looking at, and two men that this passage in Romans talks about. So we're going to turn forward to verses 18 and 19, and we're going to read that passage, and we're going to see this other man, you know, this other person that was came into the world perfect as Adam did. So let's read verses 18 and 19 together. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. So this is Adam that that's speaking about, that Adam's offense. Through Adam's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So we see here the two men, the one man that through him, many will become sinners. The other man, through him, many will be made righteous. So that second man that we're going to look at is one that we talk about quite a lot here. It is Jesus Christ. So let's have a look at him in contrast with what we have seen of Adam. So Jesus Christ performed a righteous act, which became a free gift resulting in justification in life. That's what we read in Romans. His righteous act, which became a free gift. This act was contrasted with what Adam did, which was an act of disobedience. So Adam was disobedient to God, and Jesus' act was specifically called out as being an act of obedience. You know, when Adam disobeyed God's direction, and he ate from the tree, Jesus Christ has obeyed God, not only just in something as simple as not eating from a tree and resisting one temptation, but he's obeyed God all the way to the grave. And it shows... I want to show you the significance of the difference between these two men and what they have done. And I'm going to read to you a passage or just a small portion of Jesus' prayer. And this is from when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was to be arrested, where he knew what was facing ahead of him. And he was pleading with his Father that he might have it removed from him. So Jesus prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus was incredibly distressed at the knowledge of what he would face at the cross. He's so distressed that, you know, this is the only time in Scripture where he expresses any reluctance or hurt towards the idea of what the Lord's plan was for him. Yet, in contrast with Adam, Jesus obeyed God completely. No matter what the cost was going to be to him and what he had to endure in order to do that, he would see the Lord's will done. And what God asked of him was going to be horrific and painful and beyond anything we could ever imagine. And it was so much more than what he asked of Adam. You know, Adam's sin was quite easy compared to Jesus' act that would bring righteousness for many. So Jesus took on the sins of the world, and none of which he committed. He was a perfect man. None of these sins were his. And he went willingly to the cross, on which he died a horrific and painful death and suffered separation from the Father. As we can see from Adam's fall, and we see the consequence of that and his sin, sin and death are intrinsically linked. They are completely linked together. Death exists because of sin, and where there is no sin, there is no death. So in order to deal with the sin which originated from the first man that was created perfect and then passed through him to all people, it was going to take the death of another perfect man, a perfect sacrifice, in order to deal with that, one that had not sinned at all in his life. So the only way to nullify that sin, because of the link between sin and death, was with death. That was the price that had to be paid for sin. So in order to pay for all sin, it takes a perfect sacrifice. That is what Jesus was. He was perfect and completely sufficient. You know, his death was the righteous act that was being spoken about. His death on the cross is that act which offers the free gift that to all men, offering justification and life. So what we get to is really something that, you know, it's quite simple when you break it down, is that there are two men, there are two lineages, there are two things that we can follow after. You know, we're all born aligned with Adam, so we all land on the Adam column when we're born, whether we like it or not. It's just where we are because we're born into that original sin. But that's not where we have to stay. You know, Adam in the garden had two trees. And in a way, we have a similar scenario today. So we talked about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it's the tree that was forbidden for him to eat from. And he did, and that was the act that then brought sin and death into the world. But there's another tree that's specifically called out. You know, these two trees that are named among all the trees in the garden, and the other tree was the tree of life. You know, the tree of life, he was free to eat from. He was only told not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the tree of life was free to him to eat from, and it would grant him eternal life by eating from that tree. After he sinned, he was sent by God out of the garden, and God specifically says, I will keep you out of this garden lest you eat of this tree and live forever. That because of that sin, he was no longer able to eat from the tree of life. But because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, we again have an opportunity to partake in eternal life through him, that thing that was cut off from us because of the sin of Adam. You know, the Bible talks about being born again. You know, we're born into Adam through original sin. And we think of that idea of being born again. It's being born into the lineage of Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus Christ that can make us be born justified because of his sake and because of his work. And it's through him that that is possible. And my prayer for you is that you would be aligned to Jesus Christ instead of to Adam. And we look at what that means. It's, you know, on one side we have sin, and on the other side we have justification. You know, we should be forsaking Adam's sinfulness and seek the justification that is only made possible through Jesus Christ. And the fruit of that is the same as what we see in the garden in those two trees. One of them is a fruit that led to death because of its disobedience, and the other is life. That is the alternative to the lineage of Adam. The lineage of Christ brings life. And a life without Christ can only lead to death. So as we come to finish this series on Romans that we've been doing over the last couple of months, I just want to ask you that if you take away nothing else, I want this to be it. This passage in which we see what Christ has done for us. You know, it says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." Through the obedience of Jesus Christ, we can be made righteous before God, which is a state that we do not deserve. You know, it's a one or the other scenario. And in this, you know, if you're somebody who thinks, "Oh, I'm going to kind of sit on the fence and see how things go. I'm going to hedge my bets." The unfortunate thing is that the fence is in Adam's territory. So if you're sitting on the fence, you are not sitting with Christ. You know, I would plead with you to seek Christ because in Him we don't need to fear. You know, that fear that comes with sin, we can be released of that and have reason not to fear our state before God. You know, we can have reason to not be bound up in shame before God, as we saw come into the world with Adam. And importantly, we can have that justification and eternal life that requires an answer to sin. And there is no answer to sin that we have. As we saw, it took a perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ in order to answer for sin. And so as we close tonight, I want us to sing about Christ. It's a song called "My Hope Rests Firm," and it's "My Hope Rests Firm in Jesus Christ," because we are born into the lineage of Adam, and we can be born again into the lineage of Jesus Christ, and we can be grafted in with Him, and through His work, we can be made righteous before God. And for His sake, and not for our own. But we can have hope in Him. You know, when we talk about hope that we cannot fear and hope that we cannot have shame, it is because of Christ. So let's sing of that hope, and let's honor Christ this evening for the incredible work that He has done in giving us a way to have a lineage that is not stuck to that original sin of Adam in the garden. So let's sing to the Lord's glory this evening together.